I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we will continue with two excellent guests who will speak about seasonal allergies. My first guest is Dobry Kiprov, a physician who is a pioneer in the field of immunology and chief of immunology at California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco. He is a world-renowned immunologist and one of the first physicians in the United States to complete a formal fellowship program in clinical immunology and immunopathology at Mass General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. He has numerous publications on immunology and published the first description of new immunological-related syndromes utilizing his background in immunology and aphoresia. He has been part of the first trials of immunotherapy, cell therapies, and is currently involved in several projects involving cell vaccines and stem cell therapies. Dr. Kiprov has served in many local, state, and national professional leadership positions, served as a consultant, held positions on the editorial boards of several medical journals, and presented papers nationally and internationally. More information is available at www.lifestyleinmotion.com or www.dobrykiprov.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Kiprov, and I look forward to hearing about seasonal allergies. First, what are seasonal allergies?
Seasonal allergy is a condition in which some people respond inappropriately to common pollens. Mm-hmm. Usually occurring in the spring, and a product of grass, flowers, and weeds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These create a variety of symptoms. The most common symptoms are runny nose, stuffy nose, congestion,
mm-hmm.
itchy eyes, sometimes itchy skin. The symptoms are very similar to a cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a cure for seasonal allergy?
There is no cure for seasonal allergy. The seasonal allergies are due to inappropriate response of the immune system of some individuals to pollen, mainly. And the immune system is the protective system, the defense system of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It recognizes foreign invaders, such as bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells, and destroys them. In this case, the immune system recognizes usually very innocent invaders or very innocent molecules such as pollen,
mm-hmm.
and responds as if they were invading the body and causing damage.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is by the immune system producing antibodies called immunoglobulin E or IgE, which is fairly uncommon in people who do not have allergies. Antibodies are one of the tools that the immune system uses to destroy foreign antigens. And in this case, IgE reacts with cells called mast cells.
Mm-hmm.
Mast cells produce histamine, and histamine is a very powerful inflammatory agent, causes inflammation and swelling by dilating blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the symptoms develop.
Mm-hmm.
There is a significant genetic component to seasonal allergies. Many times patients have relatives, either immediate relatives or more distant relatives, who also have seasonal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly why their immune system reacts in such an abnormal way. We do not have a cure, although there are several treatments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are then some of the current treatments for seasonal allergies?
There are several treatments for seasonal allergies. One of them is with antihistamines, because histamine causes the actual reaction, histamine causes the actual inflammatory reaction, and blocking the action of the histamine is one of the ways to prevent the allergic symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a number of antihistamines, drugs that counteract histamine. Some of the earlier generations, such as Benadryl, are useful. They do work very well to minimize the symptoms. However, they make people drowsy, sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the side effects that are unacceptable for everyday use, especially for people who have to work, drive, and have normal daily activities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're newer antihistamine medications. They are called H1 blocker, histamine receptor 1 blocker. And Claritin is one of them. Claritin was a medication that was a prescription medication. However, it is now available over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And it contains H1 blocker, which does not cross the blood-brain barrier. So it does not go into the brain, and it does not cause drowsiness.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly does not cause the drowsiness that the more conventional antihistamines do.
Mm-hmm.
Similar medication is Allegra. It is still under prescription only. But the most significant treatment or approach to dealing with seasonal allergies is prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Prevention is a very significant approach and should be the primary approach for treating many diseases, including seasonal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
People who have seasonal allergies usually know what causes this for them. It could be their garden. It could be going to their park in certain times of the year. So avoiding exposure to what causes the allergic symptoms in a particular individual case is the best treatment for the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the spring, it may take even a trip to go outside the area to avoid the exposure. If this is not possible, then having closed room with closed windows, well air-conditioned, where one can retreat and get a relief is a good approach as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is another group of medications that I'm not very enthusiastic about, and these are medications that kind of prevent the swelling of the blood vessels. They
mm-hmm.
shrink the blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
So they reduce the swelling, and then the runny nose goes away. These are available as pills. They're available as nasal sprays. They do contain vasoconstrictors. These are substances that shrink the blood vessels. They may cause hypertension, lack of sleep, and also the blood vessels get used to them very fast. So you cannot use them all the time because at some point the blood vessels get used to it, and they will not respond. So
mm-hmm.
if you use Afrin, which is a nasal spray, with a decongestant, you can use it only maybe once or twice a day because otherwise it will become non-functional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are some other less conventional approaches for those who do not like to take medications and rely on more natural approaches. One of them are certain foods, and apples come to mind right away because apples recently have been shown to have a very positive effect on the immune system because of the fact that they contain a great deal of soluble fiber. In addition to that, apples are very rich on polyphenols, which are antioxidants,
mm-hmm.
and it has been shown that apple extract ameliorates symptoms in children with atopic dermatitis, which is a form of an allergy. And it has been shown that it can ameliorate allergic symptoms in laboratory animals.
Mm-hmm.
So the saying of an apple a day can save the day is
mm-hmm.
a good one, and apples may be helpful. There is another substance that has been identified as a substance that may be helpful in allergic reaction. It's called luteolin,
mm-hmm.
and it is present in a variety of herbs. These herbs are readily available. They are parsley, thyme, basil, rosemary, and extracts of these herbs
mm-hmm.
contain a lot of luteolin, and it has been shown that this may decrease the release of histamine in laboratory animals.
Mm-hmm.
But eating a diet that contains a lot of these fresh herbs may help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are no controlled clinical trials for any of these, so we really do not know whether they will work in a clinical setting the way we know for some of the medications mm-hmm. that I already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary extract is a source of rosmarinic acid, which prevents the inflammation of the airways in laboratory animals, and possibly it can reduce allergic symptoms. Something that is somewhat interesting from an immunologic point of view is the anecdotal reports of locally produced honey,
mm-hmm.
which can help ameliorate the symptoms of seasonal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So if the honey is produced within 50 miles range of where a person with seasonal allergies lives, it contains a little bit of the pollen of
mm-hmm.
of the same area where the individual lives.
Mm-hmm.
And consuming honey will expose this person to small amounts of the pollen that causes the allergies. Small mm-hmm. amounts will not cause the full-blown allergies, but will regulate the immune system similar to a vaccine. In a vaccine, one adds a little bit of a virus or a bacteria, and then the immune system responds, but does not respond as vigorously as to the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets conditioned, and when it's exposed the second time to the real allergen, the pollen, or whatever causes the allergic reaction, the immune system is already conditioned and will not respond as vigorously, or maybe will not respond at all.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, is anecdotal. There are no controlled clinical trials. And a word of caution that some people are allergic to honey, so this has to be taken under consideration. And the other thing is that along with collecting pollen while sucking the nectar of the plants, the bees also collect some microorganisms that can cause infections.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we do not recommend the use of honey in small children who do not have a developed immune system yet.
Oh, uh-huh. Then I looked on your website, and I saw that you've invented a way of boosting your immune system. So can you tell us about lifestyle and motion?
In my general practice, I'm involved in some of the very technical and cutting-edge therapies for very severe diseases, including cancer, HIV infections, and so forth. I deal with genetic engineering, stem cells, and one thing that came to mind several years ago is the fact that we in this country are very, very good at treating very serious diseases, probably better than anybody else in the world. And one thing that we're not very good at is preventing diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the most serious diseases that I was talking about, but the most common diseases. And in the last issue of Newsweek, which is the May 24th, 31st, 2010 issue, there is an article by Dr. Finkelstein, who is Associate Professor of Population Medicine at Harvard Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
And he states that although we pay the most for our health care, the U.S. has higher rates of preventable deaths than almost all other industrialized nations.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say that it is lifestyle change that is the most value in disease prevention and hardest to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been thinking along the same lines for the last several years when I first started to create the Lifestyle in Motion program. And the Lifestyle in Motion program encourages lifestyle that is sustainable so that people can enjoy life, they can enjoy the food they eat, they can enjoy their daily activities, and at the same time, be healthier, control their weight, and live a long and enjoyable life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is by not promoting diets and gym memberships, but mm-hmm. rather something that is enjoyable. There is an interesting paradox in the American public that everything that tastes good
mm-hmm.
is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And every diet does not taste good.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not promote diets. Diets do not work because if you are on a diet, this means at one point you have to get off a diet. It's a lifestyle. You have to learn what is good for you and create your meals around that. So the lifestyle in motion is divided in four different components. The first one, I believe, is very important, and it's called knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that if people understand how their body works, how their immune system works, and what is the influence on the immune system of certain foods, physical activity, and relaxation, they will use their knowledge in their everyday decisions about food, about exercise, and daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is something that has been said thousands of years ago, that food is medicine. The medicinal power of food is very, very important. We do tend to deduce the medicinal power of food to certain elements. It's vitamin C or vitamin E or some other elements, which are definitely very important. However, whole foods contain many of these elements. And we in the scientific community are just scratching the surface of understanding the action of these substances. So eating whole foods with a variety of colors is very important.
Mm-hmm.
The third component is called the home advantage. And I do believe that gaining control over what you eat with gourmet recipes is very important. And when you cook at home, you have full control of what you eat, what you buy for cooking, and how you cook it.
Mm-hmm.
We do not discourage people of going to restaurants, but chefs, even the best of chefs, are there not to care about your health. They
right.
care to satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference between that. It's always enjoyable to go to a good restaurant, and people should continue to do that, but certainly not every day. And the last component, which is key in preventing many diseases and treating many diseases, both body diseases and mental diseases, both physical diseases and mental diseases, we call life equals motion.
Mm-hmm.
We are a society that is changing rapidly from motion to sedentary life. Sedentary life is part of the 21st century, because of the development of electronics, computers, computer games, video, TV, and so forth. And our DNA is not created to function properly without physical activity. Our DNA was created tens of thousands of years ago when people used to hunt, used to gather food, used to work hard every day about every bite they could get.
Mm-hmm.
They also had to protect themselves. So our DNA was formed in a very physical environment, and decreasing the physical activities has led to the development of a variety of diseases, such as obesity, diabetes, and many chronic inflammatory conditions. Therefore, we do emphasize that physical activity, not necessarily extreme physical activities like lifting weights in the gym and so forth, but pleasant things like taking a walk in the park, walking at least half an hour every day, going upstairs, biking, skiing, swimming, whatever people like to do, they should do it, and they should do it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come up with this idea?
Again, I think that my experience in immunology, I'm an immunologist and I have practiced immunology for a long period of time, and my exposure to very difficult diseases on a daily basis, where we treat them with cutting-edge technologies and new developments in immunology and other fields of medicine, made me realize that some of these conditions may be preventable using the knowledge that we have about the immune system. Our knowledge about the immune system has really increased dramatically over the last 20 years, and now we know how to boost the immune system. We know that the immune system plays a significant role in everyday diseases such as diabetes, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, even heart attack. Heart attack is caused by an inflammatory response rather than what is commonly believed to be an overdose of fats. So the immune system plays a major role, and our lifestyle, our way of life, does not contribute to a healthy immune system, just the opposite. There are many foods that are commercially marketed that actually cause the immune system to function over time and cause chronic inflammation. This is true with the consumption of purified sugar, and also can contribute to the development of a variety of diseases, and this, of course, can interfere with longevity. And longevity is very important to many people, especially the baby boomer generation, which is aging now, and they're used to good life, and they want to continue that, and they're interested in prolonging their functional life. And one way to do that is by boosting the immune system, because the immune system, as we age, becomes weaker. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a way to boost it in order to be healthy and have a longer and enjoyable life.
Mm-hmm. And how do you use this with your patients, and what are your plans for this for the near future?
The Lifestyle in Motion program is basically, I call it the 21st century periodical.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with a DVD. The DVD comes with a little recipe booklet.
Mm-hmm.
The recipes are all gourmet healthy recipes. They are shown on video. There is explanation about the benefits of each component of the recipes. In addition to the DVD, we have continuous information, both in written form as well as video, on the website, which is free to access. We have internet publication called iMag, which is a magazine that is free again and also uses a variety of multimedia presentations. We use 3D illustrations as well as animations to make sure that people understand some of the more complex issues that are involved. We promote seasonal food and provide recipes how to prepare seasonal produce. And we're also planning to have more DVDs that are dedicated to different subjects. I recently was asked to create a volume that deals with stress relief, which mm-hmm. we did not address adequately in our first volume.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a continuous process. We are developing products that will be healthy but will be real food. There will not be food supplements. There will be real food and will have immune-boosting capabilities as well as weight control capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a multifaceted program that is designed to help people adopt a sustainable lifestyle that they can enjoy and prevent diseases and prolong their lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are available for anyone, not just for your patients. Is that correct?
Yes. Lifestyle in Motion is available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend that Lifestyle in Motion is adopted while people are still healthy. It can be used by patients with certain diseases as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have very enthusiastic people with diabetes type 2 who mm-hmm. are using our Lifestyle in Motion DVD to create their own program. We have weight clinics who are using parts of our DVD in their teaching classes.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a good tool both for patients as well as for healthy individuals who want to prevent diseases and prolong their lives.
Mm-hmm. This would be a good time to tell the listeners your website, where they can find the DVDs and all.
Yes. The Lifestyle in Motion website is www.lifestyleinmotion.com.
Mm-hmm. Are there other services or products that you would like to mention?
No. At the moment, everything that we offer at the present time is available on the website. As new programs and products become available, they will be on the website.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else you would like to say before we close?
I think that I would like to stress the fact that the Industrial Revolution has created sedentary lifestyle, and it has created foods that definitely are unhealthy and cause diseases. And unless we adopt a healthy lifestyle, We will not be able to prevent diseases, and this will continue the obesity epidemic, the vitamin D deficiency epidemic, which leads to the development of a variety of common diseases such as diabetes, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's, and so on, which costs $140 billion per year on our healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And best way to treat diseases is by prevention, especially in these insecure economic times.
Mm-hmm.
One should try to prevent disease rather than wait and get medical care, which may become sketchy as we go along.
Right. Well, I thank you very much. This has been interesting, and I've enjoyed talking with you, and I appreciate your joining me today.
Thank you very much.
My second guest is Ann Lovick, a naturopathic physician who is on the staff of Integrative Health Care in Scottsdale, Arizona, and has been an allergy sufferer all of her life. Through the years, she has learned how to stay healthy and free of allergic reaction during allergy season, and she will share these tips with us. Dr. Lovick received her BBA and MBA from the University of Texas in Austin. Thereafter, she traveled extensively, nationally and internationally, working as a business consultant for numerous Fortune 500 companies. Her life on the road took a toll on her health. After years of learning to live with pain and being told invasive surgery was the only option for relief, she sought out alternative medical care for the first time. After one treatment, she received more relief than all of the conventional treatment combined. She then decided to learn more and became a naturopathic physician. Dr. Lovick serves as president of the board of directors of the Arizona Naturopathic Medical Association. She recently completed her first triathlon and is training for her first marathon this winter, so she stays active and healthy. More information is available at http://integrativehealthcare.com/drlovick.htm. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ann, and I look forward to hearing how you have dealt with your allergies to avoid all problems this year, which is an especially bad season. First, what are allergies?
Well, the core issue in an allergic reaction is really the overreaction of the immune system to a foreign substance. And these foreign substances are referred to as allergens. But allergens most commonly, or what I think most people think of, are airborne particles such as pollen. But really, they can be environmental pollutions, they can be chemicals that you find even in your household, such as your laundry or household cleaners, they can be pet hair, and even food. And the allergen is not harmful, and it doesn't elicit a response in somebody who doesn't have allergies. But for a person with allergies, the body treats the allergen as harmful and mounts this exaggerated immune response.
Mm-hmm.
And the response actually releases chemicals in the body, such as antibodies and histamine, and that is actually what causes the inflammation and the irritation in the body. And although allergies are annoying,
mm-hmm.
if they stick around too long, they create this wonderful moist, mucousy, inflamed environment, and that allows bacteria and viruses to grow, and that tends to turn into colds and flus and sinus infection and even pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, lots of people don't bother to do anything about their allergies until they lead to complications that keep them home from work or from school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most pollen, frankly, will become an allergen if a susceptible person is exposed to a sufficient quantity of it. So the key here is not to be a susceptible person.
Mm-hmm. Is that then why more and more people seem to be having allergies?
definitely. There's probably three big reasons that are part of that. The first one is climate change. As I mentioned earlier, we've had a really wet winter here in Arizona, which created a wonderful green spring, and our allergies were in full bloom here.
Mm-hmm.
So the climate change is a big part. Also pollution. In recent years, there's been burgeoning evidence that actually points that air pollutants worsen allergies and asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And really, because the air is dirtier in cities, they have studies that show that it's the urban dwellers who tend to be the most affected by allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not least, and this is something that I think we've been hearing a lot about lately, it's the quality of the food supply here in the U.S. We've had documentaries lately like Food Inc., and then some fantastic books such as Fast Food Nation and The Omnivore's Dilemma that have really exposed kind of some of the shocking truths about the quality of our food and how quality has been sacrificed in the name of profit.
Mm-hmm.
But these are some huge reasons why more and more people are developing allergies.
Mm-hmm. One thing that has not been exposed much, and that's the genetically modified foods. You
Absolutely.
Hear very little about this.
It's interesting how, I want to say, squelched that information is.
Right.
There are, you know, I don't know if I should say companies' names on through this interview, but there is one main company that certainly comes to mind, and the GMO foods or Frankenfoods, I guess, is the slang term for them,
mm-hmm.
are frightening, and our body cannot recognize them. Our body doesn't always break them down very well. And then again, they're causing inflammation in the body.
Mm-hmm. Then there's also a sugar substitute that I understand they have recently renamed it because there was so much bad press about it.
Aspartame.
But they didn't change the content or the components of it. They've only changed the name. I don't remember what the new name is. Do you?
You know, that's funny you say that. I don't. And it's something I want to make sure that I'm looking for because it is a potent neurotoxin and it
right.
is incredibly damaging.
Right.
And you're right, they're changing the name but not changing the chemical makeup whatsoever.
Right, and I was hoping you would know so I could get the word out there because I don't remember the name of it either.
Yes, I apologize. It escapes me at the moment.
Yeah, but there is a lot of problems with the food supply, and so I try to stay pretty much with organic. I don't know if that's that safe either, but I figure at least it's safer than the regular food supply.
Definitely. I think, you know, and as a naturopathic physician, we love to have our patients go back to the basics, clean air, clean food, clean water. The cleaner your supplies are, the healthier your body is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about water, because I used distilled for a long time, and then I read that it affects your acid-alkaline balance. And so I went back to spring water, but I know that there is pros and cons of distilled and also pros and cons of the spring water. Do you have a preference as far as what you recommend for your patients?
I usually recommend to my patients do the reverse osmosis filtered water.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the best in terms of, because, you know, of course, our water supply, they've done studies recently to show that everybody's dumping their medicine, you know, into the water supply, and there
mm-hmm.
are certain levels of hormones and antibiotics and things that really disrupt our immune system, you know, if it's not something that we should be taking for a health reason.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say, there's been some companies out there that say they have more alkaline water. The definition of water is that it has a pH balance of 7,
mm-hmm.
Roughly
mm-hmm.
7, but that, you know, that is supposed to be the neutral pH.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that is acidic or alkaline by comparison is supposed to be a comparison to water. So I don't quite buy into the myth of some water being more alkaline than others.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they're more alkaline, they might be closer to neutral, because perhaps the other water supplies do have some of these chemicals and other things that have been dumped into them
mm-hmm.
and haven't been filtered out.
Right, right. And I'm not sure if alkaline water is necessarily what you want anyhow, and I don't understand this completely, but I know that one of the best alkalizers is the lemon, which is acidic.
Ironic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, some of the more acidic fruits, lemon and oranges, are actually very alkalinizing to the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, to be honest, I'd have to get into the pH chemistry of it and do that research. But I do know that when you're looking at foods, when I'm talking to patients about having a more alkaline diet, those tend to be there on the high side and the ones we want in greater quantities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very interesting and beyond me. My nursing was back in the 50s, so I tried to keep up with some things, but it's hard to keep up with everything. And so that's one of the things that I haven't kept up with very well.
Oh, well, you've certainly done a lot of research. You certainly know quite a bit, which is fantastic.
Thank you. And what is the key factor then in developing allergies?
Well, as we were talking before, that, you know, most pollen will become an allergen if a susceptible person is exposed to it. And so the key to not being a susceptible person is all tied into our digestive systems. One of the most common causes of allergies is a compromised digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
And if your digestive system is compromised, you know, that shows up with symptoms like constipation, diarrhea, gastritis, even acid reflux or gas and bloating after you eat foods.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going on here is that when your stomach and your intestines are irritated, the result is inflammation. So then when a person consumes food, that food does not get completely digested due to that irritation of the stomach and intestines. So these partially digested proteins will actually pass through the intestines into the blood.
Mm-hmm.
But the body, it doesn't recognize those proteins because they haven't been broken down to what the body deems an acceptable format. And therefore, it starts to create antibodies to the proteins.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how food allergies develop. But what happens is that people kind of tend to keep eating those foods they're allergic to, and it's that repeated exposure to those food allergens that really stress the immune system, and they aggravate any existing inflammatory condition like allergies, as well as, you know, aggravate any airborne allergic reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So the inflammation actually increases your intestinal permeability, and I think the common term this is referred to as leaky gut syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But people with leaky gut syndrome have a tremendous problem with sinusitis, with recurrent allergies, and I see this all the time in my practice.
Hmm. And is it that people do not realize that they're allergic to certain foods, or is it that they just choose to keep eating them?
Well, you know, they're a little of both. There are two types of reactions. There's what's called an IgE and an IgG reaction. An IgE reaction is when your body responds immediately, say, to something you eat. Like, that's the classic person who maybe eats peanuts
mm-hmm.
and then has an anaphylaxis reaction. That would be an IgE reaction. But the problem with an IgG reaction is it's a delayed sensitivity or delayed allergic reaction. So if you eat something today, it may be 48 to 72 hours before your body actually responds. But because there's not that direct correlation, the way there would be with hives or anaphylaxis, we don't realize that we ate something 2 days ago that we're allergic to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't realize we're allergic to, we tend to keep eating it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really interesting is that when you eat food you're allergic to, your body actually releases endorphins. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
endorphins, they're certainly a natural painkiller, but they also make us feel good. You get
mm-hmm.
that little sense of euphoria, just like a runner's high. So people can either, A, eat food they're allergic to, or B, go run 5 miles, and they're still going to feel good either way.
Mm-hmm.
But that does make it a challenge if, one, people don't know they're allergic to it, and then, two, it makes them feel good. Those are the foods they tend to eat more often.
Yeah.
And then again, that just causes that repeated exposure, more inflammation, and, you know, the problem just kind of snowballs.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, Anne, you have had allergies from an early age. How do you avoid suffering and getting sick during allergy season?
Well, I'm definitely one of those people who grew up getting allergy shots every week. I didn't grow up in a naturopathic family. You know, my parents did a great job, and I don't mean to disrespect
mm-hmm.
them, definitely. But we just did allergy shots and didn't know better. It wasn't until I went to medical school and learned about this that I realized what had been going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the big thing is getting food allergies out of my diet, or foods I'm allergic to out of my diet. And the irony is that I do know these foods that I'm allergic to make me feel good when I eat them, and I do have momentary lapses. I'm not
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who knows me, whether it's my family or the folks I work with here at Integrative Healthcare, the minute I show up with the sniffles, somebody's going to ask me, what have I been eating? Because they know I've been eating something I'm allergic to. So the way to avoid suffering and the way to avoid getting sick is, one, identify the food allergens. So here we do a blood draw. We work with a company that does the enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay technique. Don't need to memorize that, but it's basically a blood draw
mm-hmm.
where we take your blood and then they send it to a lab and they compare it to a panel of about 90 or 100 foods. And then they send us back this fantastic report that will show not only what food you're allergic to, but the degree of reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll show us which foods you're incredibly allergic to
mm-hmm.
versus the ones that you may be moderately or mildly allergic to. And then once we have that information, we can work with our patient to avoid allergens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't avoid pollen because you can't move to a biosphere or you can't stop
right.
breathing, but we can work with getting the food allergies out of your diet. And as we remove those food allergies, that really helps support the digestive system as it heals.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step is definitely supporting the body. So we can do some nutritional supplements to help modulate your immune system and soothe the irritation caused by the allergens, as well as help to heal the digestive system. So some of my favorite things are high-quality fish oil. This really helps hydrate all your mucous membranes, because the more you support your body to do what it's designed to do, the healthier you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mucous membranes are hydrated, they can help trap those allergens and keep them from being a problem.
Now, are those the omega oils?
The omega-3s, definitely. Typically, the American diet is pretty high in the omega-6s,
mm-hmm.
so we always want to make sure we're getting plenty of omega-3s, and usually
mm-hmm.
we tend to do that through nutritional supplements. Not everybody eats as much fish as they should.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, eating good quality food, as we were talking about early, that's a huge part of supporting the body and supporting the immune system. And staying hydrated. People don't think about that, especially here in Arizona. People think they've been drinking water all day, but a lot of times people are coming in and I can look at their blood work and see that they're a little dehydrated. But the more hydrated people are, the more it helps thin out all the mucus and it helps their body process it and get rid of it better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell them to not only make sure they're drinking plenty of water, getting good electrolytes, but really avoiding caffeine sources because caffeine is very dehydrating.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, avoiding sugar, because when sugar is very inflammatory, when you already have kind of a tendency for an inflammatory condition like allergies, sugar makes that worse, and it feeds any bacteria and viruses that might be hanging around and helps them grow up big and strong, and that's the last thing we need. Because then, of course, as we talked about earlier, it leads to colds and flus and sinus infections, and that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are so many good natural things we can do to heal the digestive system. And it really kind of depends on, you know, where someone is. Slippery elm is fantastic. It's very demulcent and soothing to the GI. I love L-glutamine. In fact, the cells in the intestines are actually the only cells that don't get their nutrients from the blood. That means that you have to eat a diet rich in L-glutamine to help feed the enterocytes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important. And a lot of times if your digestive system is already impaired, you're not breaking things down very well, even if you're eating a protein-rich diet, that L-glutamine is not getting to those enterocytes the way it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes just a good L-glutamine supplement works fantastic and works wonders to help heal the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that I have done for me personally to not only help keep my allergies at bay, but frankly, as a physician, I have people sneezing and coughing in my face all day, especially
mm-hmm.
during allergy season, and I don't get sick. I don't get sick with sore throat or colds or flus. I manage to survive just fine.
That's great.
And then I try to counsel my patients on how to do it as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Anne, does insurance mm-hmm. pay for the testing, the blood tests that identify the 150 different items?
That's a great question. Some companies, it really depends on the insurance company. And
oh.
I hate to give you the old standard consulting.
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies are very good about covering them, and some are not.
Oh.
So it really, you know, you definitely want to check with your
mm-hmm.
plan provider and talk to them, because there are some insurance companies that work with certain labs and not others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here at Integrative Healthcare, we certainly can do, you know, submit it to other labs if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Then, is there anything else you would like to say before we look at services and how the listeners can reach you?
I don't believe so. I think
no.
that's everything.
Well, that was great. So, Anne, tell
us. Hopefully that was informative.
Oh, very.
Good.
Well, it was to me. I'm sure it will be to the listeners, too, or to many
others. Oh, good.
Yeah. So, Anne, would you tell us then about services and products you have and how the listeners can reach you?
Certainly. Here at Integrative Healthcare in Scottsdale, Arizona, you can go to our website at integrativehealthcare.com, and you can call us at 480-657-0003. I'm in a practice with two other naturopathic physicians, and we all kind of have our different specialties. I tend to focus on women's health. That doesn't mean Dr. Christensen and Dr. Wozni don't do that. Dr. Wozniak tends to focus on pediatrics. That doesn't mean I don't see children. Dr. Christensen, we all kind of cover everything in the general family practice area. Mm-hmm. Dr. Christensen is also really well known for working with thyroid patients. He's actually coming out with a book later this year. He's going to have two books. I apologize. One's going to be targeting doctors, or they'll be the target audience, and the other's actually going to be targeting the average patient and teaching everybody how they can support their thyroid. So,
do you have the name for the book?
Of his book? Well, Dr. Christensen is coming out with a new book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease. It's going to be through Penguin Press, I believe, or Penguin Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
What's fantastic about it is that it's not like reading through a medical or technical journal.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually breaking it down so the average person who did not go to medical school can really understand what's going on with their thyroid, as well as some really healthy ways to help support it and take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And thyroid is such a huge part of the practice we see here, because unfortunately so many people have issues with their thyroid. It seems to be a very delicate organ, and it does get affected very easily and gets out of balance very easily.
Right. And one of the problems that I see is we used to get iodine in salt, but then they said, well, salt isn't good for you, so people stopped eating as much salt.
Yes.
Which was their one source of iodine for their thyroid.
You bet.
Like we were told, don't get too much sun, so people stopped getting in the sun during the middle of the day or using sunscreens, etc. And then, guess what? They had a vitamin D deficiency.
Even here in Arizona, the Valley of the Sun, we have vitamin D deficiencies. I rarely see people with an acceptable level of vitamin D.
Really?
It's incredible.
Hmm.
It is incredible.
It sure is.
But yes, with the iodine, you're right. People are moving towards the sea salt, the Celtic sea salt, or
mm-hmm.
the different Himalayan, I think, salt, which are all great. But you're right. They're not getting the iodine they needed. Now, some people do. You have to be careful with the supplements. Some of the supplements out there have way too much iodine,
mm-hmm.
more than a person needs per day. But typically, if they get a little of the iodized salt in their diet, as well as eat some sea veggies every week, that all that is very nutritive and very supportive to the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Dr. Christensen will be talking about this in his book as well.
Mm-hmm. The sea vegetables, I recently, in fact, it was this past week, saw dried seaweed at Trader Joe's, and it was good.
Isn't it good?
And it has no calories, or almost no calories.
Most people will be like, oh, my gosh, I'm eating seaweed? That sounds disgusting. It is really yummy.
Oh, yeah. I always have enjoyed seaweed, but I didn't know you could get it dried before.
Oh, good. Yeah, so healthy for you.
Is it? Yeah. I just like it. But if it's healthy, too, that's a plus, right?
Definitely, definitely.
Well, I appreciate this very much, Anne, and I know that it will be interesting and helpful information for the public.
Well, it was my absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed talking to you, so thank you for your time, Carl.
Thank you.
Okay.
I thank you for joining me for this program on seasonal allergies. In the time left, I would like to talk with you about my website and also another allergy resource that may be of value to you. My website is www.holistichealthshow.com. And the day after each show, I place the show on the blog of my website. After each month, it is placed in the archives on my blog. So you can always find old shows there. In addition, each Wednesday, I place the latest research for the topic of the series being discussed on my website. For example, now it is seasonal allergies. Then every Friday, I place the latest research on cancer on my blog. I also have some ebooks for sale and one CD finished that will be available when I get my webmaster to place it on the site. It is on smoking cessation. Another CD is recorded and will be there when published. It is on a holistic approach to stress reduction and sleep. In addition, my book, Healthy Holistic Aging, is available there and forms the framework for this show. It uses a holistic approach to staying well. My goal of this book is for you to live to age 78 like me and be active and free of chronic illnesses and prescribed medications. Being free of pain and chronic illnesses is important to me so I can enjoy my later years, and I'm sure it is for you also. I also have a link to Dr. Bianca Garrilli's Allergy Elimination Diet. Dr. Garrilli is a naturopathic physician who uses the Allergy Elimination Diet successfully to treat a variety of conditions, including ADHD, anxiety, arrhythmia, asthma, autoimmune diseases, brain fog, chronic congestion, and earache, fatigue, gastrointestinal conditions, gastroesophageal reflux disease, headache, hormonal-related imbalances, insomnia, joint pain, and a variety of other conditions. This diet has been used by naturopathic doctors for decades, and in a great number of cases, you'll find that by discovering and then eliminating the food sensitivities from your diet, you will improve your overall health, reduce your chronic health symptoms, and feel amazingly better. Find out more by going to www.allergyelimination.com or click on the link on my blog. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good week, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks.